The nurses wouldn't tell us anything about Johnny and Dally, so Derry got hold of the doctor. The doctor told us that he would talk only to the family, but Derry finally got it through the guy's head that we were about as much family as Dally and Johnny had. Dally would be okay after 2 or 3 days in the hospital, he said. One arm was badly burned and would be scarred for the rest of his life, but he would have full use of it in a couple of weeks. Dally'll be okay, I thought. Dallas is always okay. He could take anything. It was Johnny I worried about. He was in critical condition. His back had been broken when that piece of timber fell on him. He was in severe shock and suffering from third-degree burns. They were doing everything they could to ease the pain, although since his back was broken, he couldn't even feel the burns below his waist. He kept calling for Dallas and Pony Boy. If he lived... if... please, no, I thought. Please, not if. The blood was draining from my face, and Derry put an arm across my shoulder and squeezed hard. Even if he lived, he'd be crippled for the rest of his life.
You wanted it straight, and you got it straight, the doctor said. Now go home and get some rest.
I was trembling. A pain was growing in my throat, and I wanted to cry. But greasers don't cry in front of strangers. Some of us never cry at all, like Dally and Two-Bit and Tim Shepard. They forgot how to at an early age. Johnny? Crippled for life? I'm dreaming, I thought in panic. I'm dreaming. I'll wake up at home or in the church, and everything'll be like it used to be. But I didn't believe myself. Even if Johnny did live, he'd be crippled and never play football or help us out in a rumble again. He'd have to stay in that house he hated, where he wasn't wanted, and things could never be like they used to be. I didn't trust myself to speak. If I said one word, the hard knot in my throat would swell and I'd be crying in spite of myself. I took a deep breath and kept my mouth shut. Soda was awake by then, and although he looked stony-faced as if he hadn't heard a word the doctor had said, his eyes were bleak and stunned. Serious reality has a hard time coming through to Soda, but when it does, it hits him hard. He looked like I felt when I had seen that black-haired Soch lying doubled up and still in the moonlight. Derry was rubbing the back of my head softly.
We'd better go home. We can't do anything here.
In our Ford, I was suddenly overcome by sleepiness. I leaned back and closed my eyes, and we were home before I knew it. Soda was shaking me gently.
Hey, Pony Boy, wake up. You still gotta get to the house.
I said sleepily, and lay down on the seat. I couldn't have gotten up to save my life. I could hear Soda and Derry, but as if from a great distance.
Oh, come on, Pony Boy,
Soda pleaded, shaking me a little harder.
We're sleepy, too.
I guess Derry was tired of fooling around, because he picked me up and carried me in.
He's getting mighty big to be carried, Soda said.
I wanted to tell him to shut up and let me sleep, but I only yawned.
He's sure lost a lot of weight, Derry said.
I thought sleepily that I should at least pull off my shoes, but I didn't. I went to sleep the minute Derry tossed me on the bed. I'd forgotten how soft a bed really was.